Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let us take the bus and need a sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-Bud 2. But give me my rocket bus. So thanks for tuning in to the show today. It's Wednesday, August 23rd. It is my dad's birthday. It's my dad's 82nd birthday. Oh, I just remember that. And I was going to say, I'm feeling a little bit nervous about having it all together for the show today, so I'm just going to play the next thing that I have queued up, which is actually my dad reading a little, like a four-minute little story, kind of story that he wrote. I was home in Kentucky earlier in August, like the first week of August, to see my parents and my family. And so actually, so most of today's show is about that travel trip, the trip down. I took the bus, and so I wrote a little story about the overnight Greyhound ride from Washington, D.C. to Knoxville, Tennessee. Actually, it was just the Virginia part, and passengers got on in like Charlottesville, Lynchburg, Roanoke. One passenger in particular. I'm not sure how much detail I'll go into, but there's one particular slumber party on the bus, and this man I was sitting next to, which I'll talk about that. And then also I have a recording from when the sheriff, when I was trying to hitchhike to the bus station on my way back from Kentucky, the sheriff that pulled over, and I have about 12 minutes of recording of our interaction. He wasn't very happy to see me there. I'll just say that. So, you know what? This is my dad, Jim Woodring. It was something that he wrote.
This one's true.
I wondered if it was actually true.
I saw the ad. That was my inspiration. The tail goes swish. The chemical engineers at Procter & Gamble have created a much-needed new product. When wells dry up from drought or from other kinds of water shortages, we get swish. With swish, people will do very little laundry. With swish, people can now wear jeans and shirts and dresses and blouses for more than one day before throwing those dirty things in the laundry basket. Swish is a powdery spray kind of compound. You put it on your clothes at the end of the day, and in the morning, all you do is brush it off, and it takes all that filthy and filth and body odor from your clothes. You can wear the same clothes for days in a row and always start your day sparkling clean. It is the green, environmentally sound way of modern living. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but the old-fashioned way was even sounder and greener. When I was a boy, I remember waiting for the Sears Roebuck package to arrive in September at the start of school. My school uniform for the year came wrapped in that magic brown paper. I opened my treasure and found two pair of jeans and a long and two long-sleeved flannel shirts. I wore one pair of jeans and one shirt for a week and put them in the laundry for Mom to wash on Monday. And while they're in the laundry, I wore my second set of jeans and that shirt for the week. I had four sets of underwear and changed in midweek. On Sunday, after my Saturday night bath, we wore our Sunday best. My best usually consisted of hand-me-downs from my older brother. He got them from an older uncle or cousin. I never did know where my Sunday suit originally came from, even when it was new. With nine people in our house and one bathroom, our weekly Saturday night baths worked like an assembly line. It took three tubs of water for the nine of us. One tub full served for three people. My father solved a lot of the fighting to be first for the clean, hottest water by making a chart to have us rotate who would be first week to week. Having only two sets of clothes for the year made a lot of sense, especially for my mom. At the very beginning, laundry was done on a washboard in a tub of water and wrung out by hand and hung out to dry and ironed in the next day or two. As things got better for us, we got a Maytag wringer washer to do the work. In some of our neighbors' families, the mom never did the laundry. They hired a poor Irish washerwoman to do it. The Irish were on the bottom in those days, and now people hire Latino immigrants to do the hard labor. I don't know if those were good or bad old days, but they certainly were environmentally friendly. It's hard for our young people, including my children, to imagine getting to take a bath only once a week. Girls could only wash their hair once a week. Well, we survived quite well, thank you. Makes me wonder why Procter & Gamble would invent and market Swish. If people used it, and people stopped doing so much laundry, the company would lose money on detergent sales. They might go broke, but I doubt it. They are very creative. Deodorant sales would sweeten their profit margin.
And that's the reading from Jim Woodring, my father. I recorded that a couple of weeks ago. Happy birthday, Jim. Happy 82nd birthday. He's still hoeing corn, planting corn, grinding corn, doing his domestic violence counseling, going out for long walks. And underneath the tractor, fixing it, writing for the newspaper. Anyway, I am my father's daughter. So now I'm just going to start reading this thing I wrote about my bus trip. And I guess my motivation in sharing it, one is I just like to write and tell stories and talk about my experiences. And the other thing that was on my mind is that sometimes, like, not everybody takes the bus. Sometimes people don't really have this experience. And I guess obviously the experience is different for everyone. But also the experience of taking the bus, like taking the Peter Pan or Greyhound north of New York City in the Northeast, is totally different from taking it in the South. That's been my experience, and I take it a lot. All right, so here we go. It was 5:03 p.m. August 1st, 2017, when I stepped off the southbound express bus from New York City, arriving in Washington's Union Station. I walked along the front of the parked Greyhound buses, waiting in the gate, looking at the windshield destination marquees, hoping mine was still there, until I saw Charlottesville. I was all smiles as I stepped on the bus, which was scheduled for a 5:05 departure, the only overnight bus that would take me to Knoxville, Tennessee, en route to see my Kentucky family. The bus was full towards the front. I assumed I was the last one on, but I spied some empty seats towards the back and made my way down the aisle till I saw some double seats that were empty. Being a good trash hauler, I chose the double seat that still had someone's leftover McDonald's bag on it. Someone would have to pick it up. Might as well be me. What else did I have to do for the next few hours? I slid into the seats with my backpack and picked up the bag to throw it away. It was still warm on the bottom. Really? People on the bus don't usually not eat all their food. The person who had gotten off before must have just forgotten it or something. I had started to open up the bag to peek inside when a man's voice coming down the aisle behind me suddenly said, "Hey, that's my sandwich." "Oh, I thought..." I started, but he glared and snatched the bag from me. "Yeah," I said. I was like, someone left their food and it's still hot." "Well, that's because I'm still eating it," he said. "Well, sorry, I didn't realize anyone was sitting here. You want to sit here? I'll move," I said. But he had taken his sandwich and his glare and sat himself down in the next seat up. I hoped I hadn't contaminated his food by touching the outside of the bag, like it seemed I'd contaminated his seat. I decided it was bad juju to stay in that seat right behind him, so I moved across the aisle and down a couple rows. And as the night wore on, I sure was glad. Sandwich Man was having a very rough day, and a rough life. As the bus churned down the roads of North Central Virginia, he spent most of the next couple hours talking into his cell phone at a woman who apparently wanted to break up with him, but he didn't want her to. "Come on, baby, I work hard to provide for you. Why are you going to leave me? What, you think you're going to find something better? After all I've been through, now this? I can't take it. You know, all my life, people are pushing me away, pushing me down. Nobody wants to hire a black man. Cops just want to arrest me. Can't even find a place to live. And now, you don't even care either. Shut up and listen to me. Why you treat me like that? I ain't never done nothing wrong. What do you mean you don't really connect with me? Whose fault is that? I know you're cheating on me, and you're going to pay. Oh, you're not looking for anyone else? Yeah, well, you weren't looking for me either, but I came along." He went on and on and on. Occasionally, the man would hang up the phone and decompress to the black man sitting in the seat in front of him about the expletive he was talking to. At one point, I remember thinking, wow, how do you deal with this much anger? At what point does it just explode? Often bus drivers will tell loud passengers to be quiet for the sake of other passengers, but this driver was hands-off. As I listened to the man but tried not to absorb his negative energy, I thought of his tirade as something between a sermon and a spoken word performance, and I had a front row seat. Behind me, a young white mother and a young grandmother tried to keep two toddlers entertained and in their seats. "Oh, look at that. Hey, sit down. Shut up. Can't you sit still? I said sit down. What's wrong with you? Can't you stay still? Sit down." They were on their way to Chattanooga. At one point, between the sit downs and the shut ups, the older child, who was also hearing the tirade of the man a few seats up on the phone, said, "Mommy, he said a bad word." The calm man sitting directly across from me, working on his computer, who was also caught in the crossfire, looked up to giggle, and we exchanged a knowing glance. At one point, I asked the grandma if the restless boy might want to sit by me for a change of scenery. "Oh, no," she said. "He won't leave his mama's side. He won't even sit by me." The bus left D.C. around 5:10 p.m. and arrived in Charlottesville around 9 p.m. It was the end of the line for that bus, so we all tumbled off, the through passengers no doubt wondering what the seating arrangement would be for the next leg, heading into the late night. I took a little walk in the dark around downtown Charlottesville, looking for some trees and plants, maybe somewhere to throw the eggshells from my hard-boiled eggs. I found the town common, a pedestrian mall with lots of little shops and restaurants. It seemed kind of like downtown Northampton, only without the cars. A man asked me for spare change, and I said, "Sure, but I gotta get it out." I set down my backpack and rooted through and gave him a measly amount that was an insult to reparations. Back at the bus station, people were lined up at the gate waiting to get in or waiting to get on the next bus. I took my usual place near the end of the line. I've never been one for lining up early or defending my place in line. 99% of the time, we're all going to get on that bus anyway. Ah, but your chances of getting two seats to yourself are greater if you're closer to the front. And having two seats to myself is the difference between sleep and sleep deprivation. So I was the last person on the bus, and almost all the seats were filled. There was one empty seat, empty except for a purse, next to a woman who was facing out the window. Excuse me, can I sit here? She picked up her purse and put it in her lap and turned back to the window. Sorry, I said, you probably were hoping to get some sleep tonight. Ma'am, she said, I really don't feel like talking right now. She turned back to the window and started sobbing, shaking and crying the way you do when you get bad news and you can't control how your emotions come out. I wondered what could have happened that was so terrible. Did she just lose someone close to her? I thought about the last time I cried like that, when I found out my friend who was scheduled to be released had actually gotten sentenced to 40 years in prison. With the long bus ride I took the day my close dog friend convulsed and died from poisoning while my hands were on her. What could be going on in this woman's life? She would periodically blow her nose into her jeans jacket, so I walked back to the bathroom at the back of the bus and brought her a big wad of toilet paper. After a while, there was a break between sobs, and I offered, but she was too distraught to notice. Finally, the tide of emotions ebbed a little, and she pulled out her cell phone and started texting. I kept my eye closest to her closed, but looked over the bridge of my nose with my other eye to see what might be coming up on the screen. "Just leave me my rent money under the plant and leave me alone. I am done with you," she rapidly spelled out. As with the other man on the previous leg, it was a case of rejection. Her husband had cheated on her, her adult daughter wasn't doing what she thought she should, and now, in the middle of the night, she finds out that the person who's supposed to pick her up at the bus station in Roanoke and drive her the 50 miles home can't do it. All right, I'm going to stop there. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Wittering. I have a whole nother chapter of the next leg of this bus ride from August 1st, a few weeks ago. I just have to find the next email. So, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM in Northampton. And Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5. And you can listen to archived editions of Out There. You can't. There's a podcast, weatherbeard.com/out there, but it's down. And, I'll try and put the link to the working site where you can listen to the old shows. It's like 111 or something of them. Anyway. Okay, here's the next chapter of this overnight bus ride from D.C. to Knoxville. So, when the bus stopped in Lynchburg, two seats opened up across the aisle. It was coming up on midnight, and I left the distraught woman I'd been sitting next to and took the window seat of the double empty seats. Hardly anyone got on in Lynchburg, so I thought I'd have the chance to lie down and sleep. But then a man came up from the back of the bus and asked if he could sit next to me. Sure, have a seat, I said. How are you tonight? I'm good, and you? I'm good, where are you going? Nashville, he said. Bummer, I thought. No sleep for me tonight. He's not getting off this bus till tomorrow morning. He told me he worked on college campuses, setting up dorm rooms with furniture for incoming students, and that he'd just been working at Liberty College there in Lynchburg, but that he had hurt his foot and was going home to recover. He was a big man, not fat, not particularly muscular, but his body needed a lot of room on the seat. He was wearing light-colored jeans and a white or gray T-shirt contrasted against his dark skin. His teeth were an unknown constellation in his mouth, and he smelled a little like stale booze and aftershave. I'm pretty sleepy, he said as the bus pulled out into the night. I might snore. Well, maybe you'll snore me to sleep, I said. If I fall asleep, I might fall over on your side a bit, he said. That's okay, I said. I'll just push you back. The bus did its nighttime thing, lumbering down the back roads of Virginia, while passengers of all ages and backgrounds tried to get comfortable enough to fall asleep. The purring of the engine would be broken occasionally by a quiet cell phone conversation, or perhaps a not-so-quiet one, as the woman I had been sitting beside would say through tears and clenched teeth, April, I told you to leave me alone. I'm done with you, all three of you. Just leave my rent money under the plant and go to hell. Now leave me alone. People are trying to sleep on the bus, and you're bothering them. Since my seatmate was larger than me, it was natural that we would be pressed up against each other. I curled up away from him, pressing my backside against his thighs and my head against the window ledge. Who can really sleep like that? Not me. Something falls asleep. The leg, usually, but not me. I wiggle around. I rearrange every 15 minutes and pretend I'm actually sleeping. In between times, I'm lucid dreaming, and though the night seems to go on forever, I know morning will come. It always does. But back to the night. It's a giant slumber party on the bus. My seatmate snores a little and his weight shifts more and more over onto me. I wonder if it's time to push him back. Is he really actually asleep? I don't mind if he's just enjoying sleeping next to someone. I wonder if he really does do furniture moving. His clothing reminds me of what people wear when they've just gotten released from prison with nothing but a Greyhound ticket, jeans or gray sweats, and a white t-shirt, and all their belongings in a small white meshed laundry bag or a clear trash bag. I wonder how long it's been since he slept next to a woman. I wonder if I'm not being fair to him. Why didn't I see him when he first got on the bus? I didn't see him get on in Lynchburg, and I was watching. I was watching because I'd been looking out the window and counting the two or three people in line and hoping none of them would sit next to me so I could have my two seats and lie down, which is the only way I can really sleep. And when none of the passengers had sat next to me, I thought I had it made. And then he materialized from the back of the bus. When he had come up to sit next to me, he didn't have a bag or anything. I'd asked him, "Where's your bag?" He said, "Oh, it's back there. There wasn't room in the overhead up here." But I was dubious. There were other empty seats to choose from. Why did he choose mine? Honestly, I didn't really care where the guy had come from, and I was fine sharing a seat with him. He seemed chill and warm, a big presence, yet comforting in a way, too. I didn't get the sense he was going to try anything non-consensual. He was just hoping, I think, that I would be comfortable with whatever he was comfortable with. The weight of his body kept coming slowly and gradually over to my side. But I never did push him back. How often do you get the chance to have a slumber party with strangers? I like the overnight bus for that. It feels safe and cozy usually. And the easy out is when you get to your destination, or your seatmate does. No one has to explain why they're leaving. And how often do we have such diverse slumber parties? The question of race is always on my mind. It's August 2017. On nights like these, you want to sleep, but you also want to stay woke. So many thoughts and feelings come to an insomniac mind. A desire to understand everything about race relations and identity and history and this country's legacy of slavery. Relationships between black men and white women, twisted power structures, and relationships, shared abuses at the hands of white men, a desire to get past the lies and hurt and judgments. I was 15 in 1989 when Madonna's Like a Prayer music video came out, and on this sleepless night in Virginia, still I saw images of the black St. Martin de Porres in the cage. When the teardrop comes out of his eye, still, it makes a teardrop come out of mine. A reviewer of this music video says, "Madonna establishes that dreamed physical connection between the saint and herself to be a vital source of inspiration to act upon witnessing the black man unjustly imprisoned." That's by some site called schmoop.com. For me, as a white woman, there is the heartbreak and anguish of seeing people falsely accused, convicted before they are even known or understood, and when wanting to heal the wounds and love my way through. But still, look at me. Here I am, wondering if the man sleeping next to me is on some level trying to feel me up. It doesn't matter, does it, as long as I know where my boundaries are and they're not crossed. But what am I really doing about racism? By day, I might be an outspoken anti-racist organizer, or I might be a Facebook poster who protests racism but lives comfortably in her white town, or I might be the silent wife of a racist white power broker who is blind to his actions. I could be anybody with any judgment about my life. But by night, tonight, I'm sharing this bus seat with a man who wants to be next to me, whatever his reasons are, and I'm content to be next to him, whatever my reasons are. And for now, I'm just going to let that be enough.
Oh,
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. If you have any comments about this show, please feel free to email me, ruthie@pedalpeople.coop, or you can call me at the station when the show gets over, like at 5, between 5 and 5:30. Of course, you'll be listening to Democracy Now!, so... anyway, you can email me, ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. So, okay, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to play a couple of announcements or information about other shows here on Valley Free Radio. I really can't think and talk straight when there's music in the background.
Join me, Dwayne Rennie, every Friday from 2 to 4 to rock down memory lane with music from the 70s, only here on Valley Free Radio.
Do you love Latin music? Then check out Ritmo Latino. Tune in to WXOJ on Sunday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm your host, Kat, and I'll be playing a mix of styles from around the world, old school to new. Listen for local talent and upcoming events in the Latino community. So finish out your weekend with Latin style, Ritmo Latino, Sunday, 6 to 7 p.m. here on WXOJLP 103.3 FM.
I found a boy too.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
Okay, so welcome back to Out There. For the next part of the show, I'm going to tell a story, play a clip from when I was trying to hitchhike to the bus station, going from Williamsburg, Kentucky, up to the bus station in London, Kentucky. It was only 25 miles. I was on my way back to Massachusetts. And so what happened was, so my brother gave me a ride. He was on his way to work, and it was like an hour. He drove me like an hour, and then he dropped me off by the interstate exit, about 15 miles north of the Tennessee line. And I was just trying to hitch 25 miles up to London, Kentucky to catch the bus. I had a bus ticket. And so I got my backpack and I got like this tent and a chicken food bag. And so I'm headed towards the on-ramp. And then I thought, oh, I should probably pee before I start hitchhiking. So there was this little side road. And so I go down this side road, like maybe, I don't know, 30 yards. But there wasn't really anywhere to pee. And so I turned around and I'm walking back towards the state road that goes across the interstate. And I see this big black truck that pulls up and stops next to me. And it says Whitley County Sheriff in big letters across it. And the passenger side windows roll down. There's just the driver in there with his sheriff's uniform on. And I said, "Hey, how's it going?" And he said, "I'm fine." He said, "What are you doing out here?"
And I said, oh, I'm on my way to catch the bus in London. And he said, yeah, but why are you on this road? And I said, well, I was looking for a place to take a leak. And he said, I'm going to need to see your ID. And I said, okay, but I'm going to have to set down my backpack and root around in there and find it. And so he pulled over and got out of the truck, and I set my backpack down. And I was rooting around in it. And as I was pulling out my ID, I also said to him, I said, I'm also pulling out a recorder, and I'm going to record this. And he said something about, like, disorderly conduct. And then that's about the time that I got the recorder turned on. So the next 12 minutes are the recorded interaction between me and this Whitley County Sheriff's lieutenant standing on the side of this rural road. No houses or businesses or anything in sight. It's just me and him.
And you are, for the most part, being considered to be disorderly conduct. So I would like to see your ID.
Okay, would you just, would you mind restating the complaint?
No, I already told you. Okay. I can't help you record it.
Okay, yeah, I understand. But the complaint was I was out walking and someone didn't like it. Disorderly conduct.
I see you record that.
I did not urinate in public because, like I said,
what did you tell me you were going
to
do?
I said I turned off the road because I had to take a leak. You asked me what I was doing on this road. And I said, well, I had to take a leak, but there was just like vines and cliffs. So I turned around. Like, stating my intention is very different from stating anything I actually did because I never got the opportunity. Fortunately, I don't really have to. Too bad. But yeah, I have friends who've just been walking and people call the police because they're walking because people don't walk in this culture.
Stay. Break for name, date of birth. So you're. Marley, your last name?
No, that's my middle name.
Okay, Woodring is your last name?
Yes, sir.
Ruth Woodring, January 74. It's a card, says United States passport. I've never seen this before.
I know, it's kind of a new thing.
New from where?
A relatively recent thing from the U.S. Passport Agency.
So you're not... Are you not a citizen of the United States?
Well, you know what? I'm just going to give you my ID, and I'm not legally required to answer any more questions.
Here's the thing. If I charge you for disorderly conduct, and they take you to jail, they don't release you until they find out who you are, which could be however long it takes.
If that's what you feel you need to do, you can do that.
I know I can.
D.L. Foley is what the nameplate says.
Yeah. Sheriff's Department.
Yeah. I saw the truck.
Local law enforcement.
223 Henry Paul George. 224 Henry Paul George.
253, that will be out of
Kentucky, correct?
Negative. She won't tell me where it's from. She has some funky looking card that says United States passport card.
10-4.
It does say she's born in Kentucky, but I've not ever seen a card like this before. So, why is it that you wouldn't want to answer questions when someone just asking questions, not accusing you of anything?
Well, actually, I feel like I did get a little bit defensive because I was accused of things I wasn't doing.
What were you accused of?
Disorderly conduct and urinating in public. And walking down the road, being suspicious.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not sure what area you're familiar with,
but I worked here for a long time, and I'm familiar with a lot of people, and I've never met you before. So automatically, I know you don't live here.
Uh-huh.
I know you don't. Go ahead.
No record on file for that name either. Out of Kentucky.
Temple. So I know you don't live here in this area. And so for you to be walking this area this early in the morning, that is suspicious. That's suspicious because I know you don't live here. I know you don't work here because there's no businesses open except for the gas station. I know you don't work there. And for you to be carrying items, it looks like you're either backpacking, camping, or I don't know. So it's suspicious. It's not the norm, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So that's why I was asking questions. I can't help you feel like you're accused. But the thing is, that's my job to ask questions. I don't know what you'd have to hide. You don't want to cooperate. I don't know what kind of... I've never seen this before. And I merely asked, where would you get something like that? I don't know why it was a problem for you to answer. If this is valid, why can't you tell me who issues that? Because I don't
know.
The
U.S. Passport Agency is what I said.
Who is that?
I don't know. Does it say on there? Department of State, whatever you get a passport from. Now you can get a passport card. It's only for domestic travel, like in U.S., Canada, Mexico, or by boat.
I'm trying to say that I've never seen one of them.
United States Department of State, whoever issues passports.
So why would you need a passport to travel in the United States?
Because this is my ID.
So you don't have, like, why can't you just get a state ID?
Because I prefer this because it's good for more things.
That's why I'm saying I'm unfamiliar with it. I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, may I? What I'm getting at is I've seen fake IDs before.
Uh-huh.
And so I look at that. I don't know why someone has to have a passport to travel in the United States.
Because it's my only ID, and I don't want to have multiple IDs. A pain in the butt.
That would make sense, but why would you need multiple? That's what I'm getting at.
Because if I want to go to Canada or Mexico, I need a passport.
I know that. So this takes the place of a passport.
Yeah, but only for like land or sea, like land crossings. You can't fly internationally with it. But so, I don't fly anyway, so. Okay, like another reason that I don't feel like I want to give more information than I'm legally obligated to is because there are many people who are here who may have fake IDs who I believe should be allowed to be here, and I believe migration is a human right, and it's like the birthright lottery that people aren't allowed to come somewhere with these resources when they're, like, starving and subject to violence in their own home country. So I don't want to put them at risk. You know, the more I give all my information, the more it puts people who can't do that, who don't have that privilege, it puts them at risk.
So that's your point of view?
That's my point of view. This is my firmly held belief that we need to love each other.
So you're born in Kentucky. Do you not claim to be a resident of Kentucky? Is that... I mean, do you not have a permanent residence while I'm asking?
I'm not a resident of Kentucky.
Just your place of birth?
Yes.
So you don't really claim any...
Oh, I do. I'm like I said, I'm trying to get to the bus station in London.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how are you attempting to get there? By walking?
I'm on a hitchhike.
Well, that's against the law.
In Kentucky. You know what other states it's against the law in?
No, just Kentucky.
I know I've heard it's against the law in Tennessee.
I thought it was against the law all 50 states.
I've heard it's only illegal in 4 states.
It may be. I just know Kentucky.
Do you know the statute, or would you mind looking that up for me? Or giving me the number in there?
Do you want me to?
I do. I would appreciate that. Yeah.
No, if you don't leave it there. Just bring it with you.
Okay.
So somebody won't swing in and actually run over.
You can just tell it to me, and then I can, look it up.
or just to have, for me to have that on reference is helpful, so I know for sure.
What do you mean, so you know for sure?
So I know for sure, like, what states, what the law set specifically says about the legality of it in different states.
So you have a way to look it up?
At the library, if I can get to London.
It's KRS 189.570.
And what did what does it say?
I'm not going to read.
Can
all
I read it?
No, I'm not going to read all that to you. I can charge you for it, and then you can read it, or you can just look it up, like you said. But I gave you the statute.
Okay.
It is against the law, and so I'm just telling you. I didn't catch you hitchhiking, so I'm not charging. I'm just telling you that you can't be hitchhiking.
Right.
And that's the law. So, and you can't be a pedestrian on the interstate either. If that's.
Well, I know you can't go past the sign that says no pedestrians.
Okay. So you didn't believe it was against the law, or why?
What, hitchhiking in Kentucky?
Yeah.
For the best of my knowledge, I didn't realize it was against the law, no. I mean, how is a person supposed to get somewhere if there's no public transportation?
That's not for me to answer. It's against the law to be hitchhiking.
Yeah.
So,
you know why that is?
Because it's dangerous. And they put the law against it to prevent people from doing it so that people won't. So people won't pick up hitchhikers.
Yeah.
So it won't be a common thing of, I'm assuming, picking up people and harming them and just drop them off somewhere. So as to, I guess, persuade people not to do it for their own safety.
Well, I hope you have a good day.
You too.
Thanks. Take care. CO271 says the license plate. Kentucky, Whitley County Sheriff. It is Tuesday morning, 7:12, the 8th of August, 2017. God, this sucks. Okay. You know what? If you wouldn't read me the statute, I don't know exactly what it says. Does it say you can't sit on the guardrail and eat an ear of corn? Does it say you can't exist on the side of the highway? Oh, this sucks. Can you believe that? Like, peeing is illegal too? What's a person supposed to do? I wasn't my best self when it comes to connecting with people. But, we got off to a kind of a rocky start. It's hard to connect with people that are accusing you and then deny that they're accusing you. But still, that is my challenge. Now, I'm sitting on a guardrail. I figure this, is there a law against sitting on a guardrail, reading a book, and eating a tomato and an ear of corn? I'm kind of yawning and feeling a little cold and shivery. Oh, I got the chattery shiveriness. It's not cold. I'm just a little rattled. Morning. I'm looking for a ride towards Corbin or London if you're headed north.
Oh, I'm going to stop this clip for just a minute. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. So I was just playing an interaction that I had. Well, it kind of explained itself with a Whitley County Sheriff when I was just walking along the road. Anyway, so then I walked across the interstate to the gas station and started asking people for a ride who were coming and going from the gas station.
I'm going back this way.
All right, thanks anyway.
Excuse me, I'm looking for a ride to London if you're headed north.
Right. Well, it feels better just to have some human contact and eye-to-eye contact instead of just anonymous cars whizzing by at 55 miles an hour.
Excuse me, I'm looking for a ride to London if you're headed north.
I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks anyway. Good morning. I'm looking for a ride to London if y'all are headed north.
No, I'm headed down 25.
Right.
Sorry.
Thanks anyway.
I'm kind of bummed that I fell for it because legally I didn't even have to give him my ID.
All I have to do is identify myself. Well, look, I was just walking down a road. Yes, like, given the circumstances, maybe I was doing something suspicious. No, I was walking down the road. Since I was doing something unusual.
Okay, so it took me a lot to kind of decompress from this thing. And so, anyway, I waited and asked around for rides for, it was like 3 hours and 45 minutes. And I remember thinking at one point, feeling like I was starting to lose my faith. And then I thought, if I lose faith in just 4 hours, how would I ever endure a hard life? Anyway, eventually I did get a ride to my destination. That's a whole other story. But a little bit more debriefing from the interaction with a police officer. The next clip is just a couple minutes of more reflection on the event recorded 2 days later.
Let me tell you about some of my physical responses to this incident. So in the moment when I'm standing there and the officer is back in his truck calling in my name over his radio to check for warrants, I'm standing there and I can feel my heart beating rapidly and feels like it's shaking my whole body, and I look down and I hope that it's not making my shirt move, and I really hope that he can't see me shaking like that when he comes back out. And then immediately after the incident, after he left and I walked over to the guardrail and sat down, I just sat there and was like, am I allowed to be here? Is there a law against sitting on the guardrail? Is he going to come back and tell me to leave? What am I going to do? And apart from those thoughts, just like my physical reaction was, it was jittery. I kept yawning. I kept feeling cold and my teeth were chattering. And then about 12 to 24 hours after the incident, I just started laughing giddily. Because it was all so hilarious. And 2 days after the incident, I was crying because it's just so sad, that abuse of power.
All right, so the next thing I am going to go to is some readings from HitchWiki. So the police officer told me it was illegal to hitchhike. He read me the statute. So I finally looked it up last night online. Last night, like the, whatever, 3 weeks later. There's this website called HitchWiki. It's for and by hitchhikers. And here's some of the information that it has on it about the legality of it. It says, being in a state which permits hitchhiking does not guarantee that the police will not harass you. Most police don't know the laws and will tell you it's illegal to hitchhike in that state. This certain hitchhiker called the Wind and Rain, I guess this is his nickname, argues with cops on a regular basis and refuses to stop hitchhiking where it is legal. He has been innocently arrested for this twice, but has remained confident and never been taken to jail, even after being cuffed and in the car and continuing to stand up for his rights. The police are usually bluffing right to the very end. If you know the law in that state, don't be afraid to tell the police that they're wrong. Frequently, when confronted with your response, law enforcement officers will react unprofessionally and occasionally aggressively, and even in a discriminatory way if you are not their race. Sad but true, white people will have an easier time than blacks or Latinos. They may curse, call you names, and or threaten to arrest you if they see you hitchhiking again, and then leave the scene. This is usually a bluff. They may even cuff you, and then give you a ride out of their jurisdiction. Occasionally, they may admit to their mistake and leave you alone. If you're uncomfortable and feel threatened by the officer, you may request to speak with his or her supervisor. Anyway, so in this particular case, I did look up the statute, KRS 189.570, which says, no person shall stand in a roadway for the purpose of soliciting a ride. No person shall stand in a roadway for the purpose of soliciting a ride. Now, most often, when the laws state that in or on a roadway, the word roadway is usually defined in state statute books as exclusive of a shoulder or the traveled portion of the highway, making these statutes easy to circumvent. So according to HitchWiki, hitchhiking is illegal in 4 states, Nevada, Utah, Idaho, and New Jersey. And those are the only ones. Now, HitchWiki also has this to say. If the police pass you walking or sitting by the side of the road without soliciting in any way, they may still stop to check IDs, but you're not required to identify yourself unless there is suspicion that you could have committed a crime. Oh, I should also mention, so this Hitch Wiki is especially for, it's like an international Hitch Wiki, an international page, so a lot of this is directed towards international travelers who are in the United States. Okay, so the police may still stop and check your ID, but it says you're not required to identify yourself unless there is suspicion that you have committed a crime. Well, they're always going to suspect you of, you know, being disorderly or urinating in public or something, I guess. I don't know. That seems kind of a gray area. It says you may wish to hide your thumb or sign when a police car is approaching to avoid being hassled. Often, particularly close to major cities, the police will ask you for photo ID, but as long as you have one with you, such as a passport, there shouldn't be a problem. Most of the time, they'll be polite when you come up clean, and not too rarely, they'll give you a lift out of the area to get rid of you. And now this is my favorite part of the Hitch Wiki site, where it says, especially in smaller towns and in the countryside, the officer stopping you is likely to never have seen a passport before. If that's your form of ID, bear with the delay caused. Help the poor guy out by pointing out which is your name and your birth date, and enjoy the confusion and the hilarious misconceptions that arise. So true to my experience. All right, well, that just about does it for out there today. Thanks for tuning in, and stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. And my next week's show, I don't quite know yet what it will be.
Let us sing this song for the healing of the world, that we may heal as one.
Are you looking for some answers to the problems plaguing the world? Seeking hopeful news and inspiration? Folks working for peace, justice, care for creation, and healing? Join me, Mark Helpsmeet, Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m. for Spirit in Action. We'll go deep, find some answers, talk to the folks making a difference, and find out what motivates and sustains them. Together, we'll find hope on WXOJLP 103.3 FM, Valley Free Radio, with Spirit in Action, 3 p.m. Sundays.
And our lives will feel the echo of our ears.
A Baha'i Perspective, hosted by Warren Odess Gillette, is a weekly radio broadcast of biographical interviews of people who have either chosen the Baha'i faith as a way of life or who have a relationship with the Baha'i faith. You can listen to the broadcast on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WXOJLP 103.3 FM. That's Valley Free Radio.
Won't come a stress me. Try to change and rearrange. Long time me day I know the game. Pretty dead when them hot like a flame. Pretty dead when them bad don't delay.
This is Professor Howard Zinn. The independent, non-commercial radio station you're listening to is really important in the maintenance of democracy. Thomas Jefferson once said, an informed democracy will behave in a reasonable manner. So if you care about being informed, if you care about democracy, if you're a reasonable person, you are, of course. Please support your source for uncensored news and views and the voice of your community.